It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Cleverly for Sheringham! The Berber goal! First one to Spurs!
And Defoe all the way!
It could only be Demi Chinnell! Danny Rose on his Premier League debut! And it's Gareth Bale's night once again! Stoppage time! Alan Nielsen has scored!
Hello guys, and welcome back to a slightly earlier edition this week of The Last Word on Spurs, and we're going to be reflecting on Christian Eriksen's late show against Burnley to hand Spurs a stoppage time win, and we're also going to be looking ahead to the huge North London derby to come this week in the League Cup. Now guys, before that, just some information for you that The Last Word on Spurs now on Love Sport is going to be switching to a Thursday night show following Spurs' progression in the Champions League. Now to have your say on our Love Sport shows, you can get in touch with us between the hours of 7pm to 9pm in the UK. That is 7pm to 9pm in the UK. And if you, like I say, want to give us a call, discuss all things Spurs, you can do that on the following number of 0208 7020558. That is 0208 7020558. And if you are calling from outside the UK, all you need to simply do is add +44 in front of that number. Now, the show is available to listen to on both 558 AM and DAB radio. That is 558 AM and DAB radio. And of course, you can catch the show both on the Love Sport app and via their website. So make sure you tune in to that Love Sport show for Thursday's reaction to hopefully Spurs beating Arsenal in the Cup. But before we do that, we have yet another great show coming your way. I've got alongside me as always Jason McGovern. Joining Jason tonight, we have two returning guests to The Last Word on Spurs. In first up, Ashley Watts, who's been on our show recently. And alongside Ashley, we are delighted to have on the show, making his second appearance, his first one of the season, Ross from the very popular must-follow account on Twitter, Hotspur Related. Enjoy the show. First up, joining me, I've got Jason McGovern with me. Jace, how are you on the back of a really good Sunday, Jace, for Spurs?
Yeah, well, I've just about thawed out from Saturday's game. It was a bit chilly at Wembley, that's for sure. But just absolute relief when Eriksen bashed in that goal and you thought, well, at least we've got something to warm us up for the day. And then it's been a good day today overall, I think.
Not bad, is it? I mean, I say Arsenal losing, Man United, I say, you know, more points in front of them. I mean, I'll bring it over to you, Ash. How are you, Ash? First, are you well?
Yeah, I'm great. I've just thawed out from yesterday as well. It was so cold. But at the end of the day, we we made it look tough, but we got the 3 points, and that's all that matters, right?
Oh, most certainly spot on. And Ross, bringing you in, you know, 5 points clear now, fifth place Arsenal, 13 points ahead of sixth place in the Premier League, Man United, on the back of Sunday's games. What do you make of that, Ross?
Yeah, no, it's great. I think, like the guys have already alluded to in the early stages, like, it's just keeping that momentum more than anything. Like, you know, it must be, from a psychological point of view, such a lift when you're kind of half expecting the 85th, 86th minute to come away with a draw, and then we finally got it over the line in whatever it was, 91st minute, was it, with Eriksen?
Yeah.
So just to keep the momentum going, from a psychological point of view, it must be such a lift to then kind of get better than what we were initially expecting, if that makes sense.
Oh, it does. I think you're spot on there. And then, Jace, bringing it back around to yourself, you know, Spurs, like Ross said there, I mean, it was grabbing victory at the death, wasn't it? It wasn't a great performance, but despite, Jace, a whole host of absentees due to injury, this Spurs team, Jace, they still find a way to grind out a result and get a really, really important win.
It was a vital win because I'm not so sure we played particularly well. It was nowhere near at our best, but Burnley were absolutely awful on the day, and I think my criticisms would be more at them than at Tottenham. I mean, you can criticise a side, you know, failing to break Burnley down and saying, oh, we're not moving the ball here or there. But sometimes I think in a game like that, you do need the other side to try and do something. And if you're going to criticise one side, it shouldn't be the side that's actually trying to win the game. It's the ones that are contributing nothing other than wasting time. And I thought we didn't play well, but I think we just deserved the win purely because of our negative Burnley were. So it was important to get it. And there's something kind of sweet when you've had a side that's wasted time from the very first minute that eventually comes unstuck in time that's added on for their wasting. So that kind of makes it that little bit sweeter, doesn't it? And no, it was just good to get those 3 points.
Was indeed. And bring it over to you there, Ross. You know, is the beauty of this Tottenham team, as I said to Jason there under Pochettino, is that they always seem to try and find a way. They never get up to the very last second of the game. And is that symbolising of this never-say-die spirit that we're talking about in the club here, Ross?
Yeah, like, it's quite beautiful to watch, actually. Like, the mentality shift from even Spurs of when Pochettino came in, and then a couple of years ago, there were still kind of question marks over our mentality. And I know rival fans will always point at it regardless until we win a trophy, however meaningful or meaningless. But like, the fact that we just continue to fight away, even as fans, I think the majority of us accepted that it was going to be one of those days. You know, we've been away at Barca, come back, and you could kind of accept that maybe, you know, there'd be a drop. So for us to actually, like, come away with the whole 3 points is massive. And it just, like I say, never die mentality, in the sense of just keep plugging away. And yeah, it's great to see.
And bring it around to you, Ash. You know, we talk about this Tottenham team. They're currently on a 21-game streak here in the Premier League without a draw, winning 16, losing the other five since that 1-1 draw against Brighton in April. Bolton, actually, are the only other club to have had a longer run without a draw from the start of a Premier League campaign than Spurs this season. What did you make of the win overall, Ash? We had to work hard for it. Hard fought, wasn't it, against Burnley?
Yeah, I mean, it was a dogged effort. Like, there was times where I thought it just wasn't our day. Like, the ball went... was it Son crossed it across the line, and then Ali tried to bundle it in back post, yep. And it was coming to the 90th minute. I was like, it just isn't going to be our day. And then I was shocked when it was only 4 minutes added time. Like, I'm sure Joe Hart had wasted 4, 5, 6 minutes on his own. So I was kind of resigned to that. But when Eriksen got put through and he scored, I thought it was quite a similar goal to when he came on against Inter Milan, you know, with the shoot layoff, and then just he's so clinical. You either want him or Kane in that situation. Either of them will bury it, and he buried it. And at the end of the day, like, however bad you play, it's those games where you play bad and you do scrape over the line. They're the games that matter towards the end of the season, because we're going to batter teams 4 or 5-0, and yeah, we'd be happy with that. But it's these games where in previous years we might have had a draw, like last year where we drew 1-0 with Burnley, where we drew 0-0 with Swansea. Like, we're not doing that anymore. We're finding a way to get over the line, and I think that's the most important thing.
We are indeed. And Jace, bringing it back around to yourself, you know, we talk about substitutions changing games. You could argue, Jace, that Potter's done that in the last four games. You know, the PSV one, we go out 2-1 winners. Inter, the win 1-0. The Barcelona game, the 1-1, and Burnley. I mean, Jace, we talk on this show a lot about Pochettino's in-game management, you know, substitutions coming late. But it's fair to say at the moment, Jace, he is doing the right things, isn't he?
Well, I've defended him a lot from criticism when he gets it, going back to those Juventus games. I think these times, perhaps I wouldn't be as praiseful of him as others, because I think, you know, just the circumstances kind of dictate it. You've got to beat Burnley at home. So, you know, more the choice is, you know, we were chasing a game at Arsenal at 2-2, what does he do? And then he got it wrong. But when you're chasing a win and you must win in against Burnley and you have to score against Barcelona, those changes are kind of forced on you, aren't they? But one of the changes I did like yesterday, and a player that you know, still has hardly made any impression, but when you think of the season, is Fernando Llorente, because he scored that winner at West Ham when he played him, and then he came on to good effect against PSV. Lucas Moura kind of nicked the goal off him on Tuesday night. It was a shame that it didn't go to him. But just in those few minutes he was on, you know, they played with three centre-halves that kept Kane quiet all afternoon. And just throwing him on, it was his knockdown to Sonny. It was him contesting the ball where we drew two of those defenders with him that leads to the goal. And you kind of think Llorente, even though he's only coming on still for a couple of minutes, at least he's actually having an impression on the game in those few minutes. So, you know, I'd like to see, I just think, Chuck Llorente on a bit earlier sometimes, because Burnley were just not going to, they were never going to come at us, were they? And you thought, he's crying out with three centre-halves to just chuck Llorente on just for something different.
I'm going to bring on to the subject, Jace, you mentioned there in the beginning of the show about Sean Dyche's tactics, the way he set Burnley up, which I couldn't believe in terms of the negativity of how they were playing, the time wasted. We're going to bring on to that very shortly. But just to go to some listener questions, bringing it back into you now, Ross. We've got a question here from Matt Robinson, who says, what a week it's been. Great podcast as always. Thanks so much for that, Matt. He says, what do you guys think of Pochettino's subs? They've been really good lately. Do you agree with that, Ross?
Yeah, I think, like, we've already touched on that. I've been, but I think it's more a case of, on a wider point, how good he's managing the squad this season. Don't get me wrong, his changes are impacting the games, but you know, there has been other games where maybe he's been guilty of not impacting the game, like the Arsenal game away, unfortunately. However, I think on a wider point, his management of the squad this year has been brilliant. I think, considering all the kind of restrictions he's working under, obviously we know we didn't sign anyone in the summer, most players at the World Cup, our injuries this year seem to be horrific, maybe that's related to the World Cup, and the fact that we're still here in a position, you know, where we're being linked to potentially being an outside candidate for the title.
That's crazy.
We're still in all the cups. And, you know, as much as it's kind of hectic and we've got this ever-continuing injury list, we're still giving out debuts to people like Oliver Skip, which I'm sure we'll get on to. And just in general, like, the fact how well he's managed the squad this year, and even people like, who normally you wouldn't think would have an impact, seem to be kind of chipping in and turning games, like Llorente, like obviously on a more consistent basis, Sissoko lately. Everyone seems to be chipping in.
I agree with that, haven't you? I mean, it's all like I say there, and you bring it on there, Ross, the points you make. You know, we always say it, no summer signings, no new stadium yet, multiple injuries, and he still finds a way for this Spurs side to keep grinding out results, and it's still our best start ever to a Premier League season. I think you've got to take all that into account. It's been a magnificent approach by Pochettino. And coming back round to you there, Ash, you know, this is from Brad O'Neill, who says, been questions each season about the strength and depth of our squad, so it must come as a welcome relief for Pochettino that every player steps up when called upon. Talking about the revelations, that Sissoko, Winks, Lamella have all been this season with consistent performances. Do you agree with that one, Ash?
Yeah, absolutely. If you look at the starting 11 that was playing yesterday against Burnley, if you look at the central midfield, Sissoko and Skip, if you think back to the beginning of the season, they're probably the fifth, sixth, at most, like first choice in terms of central midfield. Obviously, you'd have Dembele, you'd have Wanyama, Dier, Winks. You'd have all four of them at the start of the season, probably ahead of them too.
So you'd even have Luke Amos, wouldn't you? He was in front of Skip.
Yeah. So
even as a young player, you'd have had Luke Amos in there. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's mad to think that, like, we've got our fifth, sixth, seventh choice midfield pairing and in the Premier League, and like, yeah, Sissoko starts in midweek against Barca, and you're just thinking, these players, like, if they hadn't stepped up to the plate, where would we be, like, with all these injuries? So it's it's testament to Pochettino for getting these guys included and getting them game time start of the season, just so that they're prepared to come into these sort of games and not just being thrown in there kind of thing. They're ready and they're all performing well.
Just on that, I was going to say, you know, you look at Ben Davis yesterday, he has to go and play at centre-half. I don't think he lost a ball in the air all game, did he?
He played very well.
I think he won every single aerial duel, Ben Davis.
I'm going to bring on to Ben Davis shortly, James, but I want to ask you firstly, back to the style of Burnley's play, the negativity to it. Cameron Yarder Jr. asked the question, Jace, doggy performance against a team playing for a draw, did we win ugly or did Burnley just play ugly?
Oh, Burnley played really ugly. Don't get me wrong, Burnley are going to come and you know they're going to try and be dogged and things like that. And then Sean Dyche said we'd worked all week on playing with a back five. You know, he probably didn't anticipate what Tottenham's starting lineup was. So I kind of think, OK, I can understand you setting up like that because you think it's going to be Eriksen, Ali, you know, Sonny's going to be playing, Kane is, you know, the whole side's going to be fluid. But then there kind of comes that bit where you think, well, hold on a minute. Tottenham have been vulnerable, haven't they, from set pieces all year.
That's right, yep.
Yeah, that's been our weakness. And you think, there's no Vertonghen, there's no Davinson Sanchez, there's no Eric Dier in the side. They've got Ben Davies at centre-half. They've got two short full-backs. They've got an 18-year-old kid in midfield alongside Sissoko. So, OK, it's not the side we're expecting. Let's try and get up the pitch. Try and get some cheap free kicks in and around their box or something and test them out. But they didn't even try and do that, Burnley, did they? They spent the entire game with 10 men behind the ball. And I look at Aaron Lennon and think, you know, we all know what Aaron Lennon used to be. He hardly got in our half, did he, the whole game? And you think, what a complete waste. And so it was quite justice that we did score with an old-fashioned hoof. And you think, it's exactly what Burnley deserved. The time-wasting of Joe Hart was a disgrace. And I think, as Ash said, there was only 4 minutes added on. You know, he books two for time-wasting, but...
That took up for an hour, Jace. That took an hour for that first booking, Jace.
I mean, exactly. Every single stoppage was a minute and a half before they'd restart. And so, you know, he could have added on 15 extra minutes for me, and he still wouldn't have been right. But I think, yes, we won ugly. But there are, like I said, there's times where you think the game will be ugly when one side just has no intention of making any contribution to win it. And I wish the bloke on Match of the Day would have, when he listened to Sean Dyche, and Sean Dyche saying, oh, we got this right, we got that right, we reduced them to this. I wish the bloke would have said, but what did you try to do to win that game of football? Because they did nothing whatsoever to try and do anything other than what they waste time and just ruin a game of football.
I mean, coming around to you, Ross, the irony is right up until the last few seconds of that game, the Spurs fans were cheering every time Burnley struggled to get the ball back to play to restart the game. I mean, could you believe, watching it, Ross, you know, the way that Burnley set up the side? I mean, it was so negative from the first whistle. I just wasn't expecting that from a Sean Dyche team. I thought they would be a little bit more expansive.
No, it didn't really surprise me, to be honest. I mean, maybe to the extent in which they did time waste, that was surprising, but I think there's just such a disparity this year in the league. Like, there's almost two leagues within the Premier League, isn't there? There's a top six and then the best of the rest. And I think, you know, Burnley are always going to be one of those teams that are struggling to stay in the Premier League due to the resources they have. And therefore, unless they're playing in their league, if you like, of the other remaining 13 teams plus themselves, I think they're always going to just come away to the top six or even at home and just set up defensively and, you know, take the point if they can and maybe nick something on the break. But I think that they were just quite happy to waste time. But it was beautifully ironic to see Joe Hart, you know, wasting time after time at goal kicks and then suddenly sprinting for balls to get the ball back in play with like 2-3 minutes left of the match remaining.
All that hair wiping, that head and shoulders, and suddenly the rain didn't matter to him, did it? It was astonishing.
Yeah.
The transformation.
Oh, dear. I mean, Ross, going to stick with you here because I want to bring it on to the team news ahead of the game. We had Skip making his full Premier League debut for Tottenham Hotspur, whilst Rose kept his place on the side. Lamella also made his full return. As Jace mentioned in the start of the show, Davis played at centre-back like he has done in the past for Wales, with Trippier also fit enough to start, with Moura also making his place in the team following his goal against Barcelona. We had Dyer, who has been confirmed on this Sunday here that he's going to miss the club's Christmas fixtures, having had an appendix removed. And Jan Vertonghen was out with a thigh injury. Ross, going into the game when you saw the team, were you slightly concerned, or was you always confident in that 11 going onto the pitch?
I just thought it was weird. Like, you know when you look at a lineup and you can't work out what the plan is? Like, I was thinking, because at first I didn't even see Davis was in the team, so I was thinking, right, we're playing four at the back. And yeah. Now I realised we were playing Davis at centre-back, and then Skip was randomly in there alongside Tissoko, and I just couldn't work it out. And then obviously once the game gets underway, you get a feel for it and so forth. But again, that's just credit to Pochettino and how he's managed the squad, that we've got a double pivot of Tissoko and Skips in midfield. Ben Davis, who played seamlessly at centre-back, didn't even put a foot wrong. And to be fair, I'm not his biggest fan. And yeah, just the lineup didn't seem to make much sense initially, but surprisingly, Pochettino knows more than me.
Well, it's funny you say that, because I've got a question here that I want to ask Ash. Ash, this is from Gareth at GW Legend, who says, whilst we should always question decisions made by Pochettino, surely we must now give him the benefit of the doubt when it comes down to fitness with selections. And now, surely, you know, again, a team selection there, he gets it right. Should we trust him more? That's from Gareth. What do you make that one, Ash?
Yeah, I'm always one for trusting the manager regardless. I mean, we all have our opinions on who should start, and most of us probably think that the best team should start every game, but obviously that's not possible. With Pochi, this season I do feel like he's been rotating the team a bit better. I think last few seasons he's just been maybe rotating the full-backs, and the attacking midfield and striker has probably been the same. But we've seen the last few games, Kane's been rested, Ericsson's been rested, Ali's been rested, Son's even been rested. We do have the option to rest them now with the strength and depth we've got, and that's not necessarily due to buying anyone in the summer. It's more the fact that we've got everyone fit, we've promoted people from youth, and now we've got a settled squad where everyone can contribute, and you don't feel like the team's getting worse for bringing someone in. Like, if Lucas or Lamella comes in for Son, I don't feel like the team's really getting worse. Or if Harry Kane's not starting, it's not the end of the world. Whereas maybe a year ago, if Harry Kane doesn't start, we don't win the game.
Sticking with you, Ash, another question here from Kevin at KJC2287. It says, after resting Ericsson last week against Leicester, were you surprised to see him start on the bench against Burnley? Signs of that stomach injury more serious than we actually know. What do you make of that one, Ash?
Well, he's such an important player for us. If he's just come back from an injury, or there's any concerns over an injury for him, then there's no point shoving him in for a game against Burnley when we do have, like I said, the adequate cover. And he's probably looking at him thinking, yeah, he's played a whole game in Barca, and hopefully he's going to probably start him on Wednesday as well. And he's probably had a couple of eyes on that and thinking, that game is a very important game for us, for where we are in the season. In terms of the mentality of the team, and also I do feel like he probably thinks it is about time we win a trophy. And yeah. He's made comments before about, oh, the League Cup, FA Cup isn't a big trophy, but I've got a sneaky feeling that if he wins that Carabao Cup and we've beaten Arsenal on the way, he's not going to be hiding that. He's going to be loving it.
So. I hope you're right, Ash. We've got a big preview of Arsenal to come. I'm looking forward to that one with yourselves. Jace, I want to bring it back around to you. Another question in here. This is from Anthony Hurd, AnthonyH7. He says, what is the situation with Victor Wanyama? Has he got the same injury that Ledley had? He's been struggling for so long. He's pretty much been out for the most of the time since we left the old White Hart Lane. I mean, you do have to question, Jason. You've also mentioned it on the previous Love Sports shows and also on the pod. The situation with Wanyama, Jason, is becoming now quite untenable, isn't it? I mean, you can't imagine he's got much of a Spurs future left at the moment, the way it's going with his injuries. He's been unlucky, hasn't he?
Well, he's been unlucky, and the Victor Wanyama from that 16-17 season was immense, wasn't he? He was an absolute beast, and you'd want him in the team every week, but if you look at it, the last 68 combined Premier League and Champions League games we've played, he started 9.
That's
and that tells you everything. Yeah. It's 9 in 68. Yeah. And to me, the problem when you've got someone like Victor Wanyama there is that mentally, you write down your squad at the start of the season, you say, right, we've got two defensive midfielders there, Dyer and Wanyama. But you think, well, I can't rest Dyer and I can't rotate Dyer because when I want to, Wanyama's not fit. So you haven't really got two there, have you? You can't make any kind of plan around Victor Wanyama. You can't think, I'll leave Eric out of this one and that one, because Eric has to play because Wanyama's not fit. But, you know, I'd seen people saying, well, we should get rid of him. The problem you've got, I fear, with Victor Wanyama and getting rid of him is which club is going to buy him. Because, you know, even if you said, OK, we'll send him to Crystal Palace, Bournemouth, you know, Wolves, whichever, Victor Wanyama probably inwardly knows he's not going to play any more for them than he is for Tottenham, because it's an injury problem, not a form problem with Victor Wanyama, isn't it? And those clubs, number one, he will probably struggle to pass a medical, and number two, they'll probably say to him, well, we'll pay you 30 grand a week and we'll give you 40, 50 grand appearance bonus. But he knows he's never going to match that appearance bonus. And so if you're saying there, I could go to Wolves and earn 30 grand a week, or I can stick at Tottenham on 65, yeah, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? So, you know, which club is going to buy Victor Wanyama under those circumstances? So you kind of fear that we've just got to wait for Victor Wanyama's contract to run out, or we're going to have to pay up his entire contract. But I think you are... It's a sad thing, but you think you've got to move on from Victor Wanyama. 9 games in 68 is, you know, I mean, that is like a young kid coming into the side, isn't it? Realistically, you know, that's the type of stat you'd have from a real backup, last, you know, a Carl Norton type figure, not not somebody Norton that you want to be a key figure in your side.
Yeah, I mean, talk about key figures in the team. Eric Dier has been, you know, an ever problem for this side, Jase. I think you've said on previous shows again that, you know, this guy's featured more than any other player in the team. We've had news, obviously, on Sunday that he's now going to miss the club's Christmas fixtures.
Big loss.
After having his
big
appendix loss removed. Well, I want to ask you about that. You know, the big loss, Eric Dier. Does that mean it does now give the opportunity for the likes of Oliver Skip? You'd imagine he may be featuring in more games, Jase, after a really impressive start at the weekend against Burnley.
Well, you think he will do, because, you know, I look at it now and I think Toby and Sissoko are probably our two most important players right now, because when Vertonghen, Sanchez out injured, Foyth out injured, there's only really Toby as a genuinely fit centre-half. We can't afford to leave Toby out of any game now. And you kind of look at Moussa Sissoko and think there's no Dier, there's no Wanyama, there's no Dembele. Harry Winks has to be managed. So you're looking at Sissoko and thinking, we need you fit for the next, you know, right the way through Christmas. He's going to have to play more or less every game, isn't he? We can't afford an injury to either Toby or Sissoko at the moment. Mm. Yet you think if Christian Eriksen got injured, at least there are others that can play in those positions. But those two are vital to us. But it was good to see Oliver Skip. I think he made a little mistake early on where he turned a little bit blind and got dispossessed. But overall, It was a really good, mature performance. And I liked the way he showed for the ball. You know, he put himself into intelligent positions, looked over his shoulder, made sure that every time he got the ball, he was in space to get it and had time to look up. And it was a really mature performance from him.
Ross, I want to bring you in. Oliver Skip, Jason mentioned him there. I mean, he does look like a really promising prospect for the future here, doesn't he, of Tottenham? Because for me, he kind of grew in confidence as that game went on. Showed an excellent range of passing for a player so young. And Ross, I know you mentioned this as well, the 13th Academy player to be given a debut by Spurs boss Maurizio Pochettino. He just keeps on developing and nurturing these young stars, Ross.
Yeah, I think Jason's basically already said the point I was going to make, that the most promising thing of his debut, I felt, was the fact that after losing the ball quite early on, he never kind of hid from that, and if anything, grew as the game went on, and he was always trying to break lines with his passing. A lot of the time, obviously, I mean, can't even imagine how daunting it must be he's 17, yep, to make your Premier League debut at Wembley, or full Premier League debut at Wembley. To have the confidence to not shy away and continuously ask these, you know, international players for the ball and keep trying to dictate the game from central midfield was really promising for us going forward, in the sense that, you know, he's not willing to shy from it, and he does want to kind of dictate, and he's not going to get too worried if, you know, he doesn't play as well as he wants to in the initial stages.
A couple of real biting tackles from him as well, wasn't there?
Yeah,
he was stuck in. And, yeah, I think, you know, just as a word of caution from him, probably Burnley helped him by the fact that they were so unambitious and kept so many behind the ball. If he has to play Wednesday and you've got Ramses and Guendouzis that are prepared to run behind him and take him the other way, run off his shoulder, that's an entirely different prospect. But, you know, you can only play what's in front of you, and he had a fantastic debut.
Mm. Come around to you, Ash, the Mac boy, says, looks like Alistair Campbell's Burnley were finally outclassed and left spinning by the ever-impressive Lily Whites. Lovely to hear that Skip had a decent run out too. But will there be more games to come for the very talented Oliver Skip this season? You would imagine so, Ash, wouldn't you, as we discussed, because of the news Eric Dyer now is going to be out for a while with this appendix he's having to have removed.
Yeah, I reckon he's probably going to appear a few times over the Christmas period.
Yeah,
normally quite busy, and we've got, what, five or six games probably until Eric Dyer comes back. I can't imagine Dembele or Wanyama being back before them. It'll probably be a rotation between Winks, Skip, Sissoko. Although the last few games, I feel like we've done all right. When Eriksen's, we've kind of gone all out attack really the last couple of games when we brought Eriksen and we've dropped him back into kind of like the central midfield area. And that's something that I wouldn't mind seeing from the start really. I feel like he's the type of player who could do that. It does leave us a bit vulnerable, but against the lesser sides who aren't actually going to attack us, I can't see it being a problem. It just enables us to get another attacker in the team, if you know what I mean.
I do. Yeah, I see where you're coming from there. I mean, Jace, I want to come over to you because I've got another interesting question here from Jonathan Best, who says, can building with academy players like the Skips, the Winks, the Canes work in the long term, or is splashing the cash really the only way to sustain success?
The whole question is dictated by, are they good enough? You know, if they're at Harry Kane's level, of course they are. If they're at Ryan Mason's level, it sadly wasn't good enough to go and win a league title or something, was it? You know, the fact that we're now a top four club and a Champions League club makes it much harder for those youngsters to come through than I mean, you know, the lot down the road have been able to play kids and things in Europa League games and things, haven't they? And Europa League gives you that chance, but it's brutal when you're trying to stay in the top four and play Champions League football. But the key thing is, if the youngsters are good enough, I feel Pochettino will throw them in. I felt a little bit sad that Kyle Walker-Peters didn't start because I really wanted
him. You were keen on that, Jess, wasn't you? You wanted him to start.
Yeah, I was. But then when you see the fact that Ben Davies is having to come in at left at centre half and you're having to bring Oliver Skip in, you kind of think, well, maybe, you know, you can partly understand that he did want to have some experience in there rather than having too many enforced changes. But, I do want to see Kyle Walker-Peters getting games over the Christmas period and New Year period as well, and not just Southport or Tranmere.
And Ross, coming back round to yourself, Davies made two good flying headers in quick succession in the opening couple of minutes for Spurs. I mean, a solid game overall from the Welshman, as we say, Ross. He's playing out of position at centre-back. Is he quietly returning to form, Ross? Because I think at the start of the season, you know, it's fair to say Davies wasn't looking himself. Do you think now Rose giving him that competition, is that going to spur him on? Pardon the pun?
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully. I think the most promising thing was how seamlessly he went into centre-back. I mean, if there was one team that maybe you said, with the exception of probably Liverpool because of speed they have up front, that Davies might struggle with is the physicality of Burnley. So the fact that he went and literally within a minute or two, wasn't it, he won a header and then got a tackle in on him. And then he had a succession of headers at a corner as well. Like, he played really well. And maybe an option going forward, obviously, with Dyer out. Because obviously I think people are forgetting that Dyer's not only a loss in terms of midfield option, but the versatility he has for being able to play centre-back and also right-back if needed. I know he hasn't played there recently for us, but I think maybe that could be something we look to go and use going forward.
Interesting. And sticking on the Davies subject, Ash, coming around to you, another question here about Ben Davies. This is from Steel City Spurs, who says, should Davies start more in central defence? Thought he was superb against Burnley.
Yeah, he played well. I mean, Burnley didn't really... It's Burnley. They didn't try to attack.
It's Burnley. That's what you have to say, Ash. It's Burnley. That's it.
I mean, they didn't try to attack. I mean, he won aerial duels and he did play well. But I think if I played centre-back, I wouldn't have been caused that much trouble by that Burnley team. They didn't try to score. I wouldn't have him playing there all the time. But it's a good option to have. Like, if we do have centre backs out or there's centre backs that need a rest, then yeah, I don't see why not. He plays in a back three for Wales, doesn't he? So he's kind of used to it. But I wouldn't necessarily say he's my first choice to be in a back two. But yeah, if injuries permit and we need him to do a job there, then yeah, he's all right.
I think that's the key, isn't it? If you get continuous injury problems. You could think of going to with a three at the back and playing him as the left of those three, but you're right. If he's the left of only two, it's an entirely... I mean, you know, if you said it's going to be Aubameyang and Lacazette against him Wednesday, that's an entirely different prospect. In the same way as it is for Oliver Skipp, it's an entirely different prospect for Ben Davies on Wednesday night.
Ross, I want to come back around to you because Harry Kane saw a very decent penalty appeal turned down after getting a challenge in the box from Tarkowski. Was you surprised it wasn't given, Ross? I mean, I thought looking at that first time, that was a stonewaller.
Yeah, I thought it was a stonewall too. It kind of reminded me of the Townsend one many years ago against Chelsea at home, in the sense that he nicked the ball past him and then obviously got clattered. I'm surprised we didn't get it, to be fair. Maybe that would have changed the dynamics of the game. But yeah, penalty all day long for me.
Well done, chaps. Quick fire across the table. Jace, yes or no? Ashley, penalty or not? What do you reckon?
When I've seen it on TV, I'd have given it. On the day, I was so far away, mate. You know, I had no idea. It just looked all right from where I was.
What do you reckon, Ash? Yes or no for you?
Yeah, like Jace said, I was up the other end. Thought it was a penalty at the time, and then when I've seen it on replay, I definitely think it's a penalty. So I think we were a bit unlucky.
Okay. Well, John, we'll stick with you, Ash. We know... Now going to move it on to discuss Eriksen being replaced on the hour mark by Lucas, who missed an early volley shot but offered little since that. I mean, we've seen with Lucas, do you think, is it just a case, Ash, of just trying to find his consistency in the Spurs shirt? Because at the start of the season, he was on fire. We can't forget the way he scored those two brilliant goals at Old Trafford against Manchester United. Bear in mind, also during the week, he got that all-important goal against Barcelona. Is it just a case, Ash, like I say, just finding the guy's consistency? Because when he plays well, I mean, he's unstoppable, isn't he?
Yeah, I'm in two minds about Lucas Moura, to be honest. Like, at the start of the season, he was on fire, but Kane wasn't necessarily playing that well, and I don't think Dele Alli was in the team. But when Dele Alli, Kane and Lucas play together, I don't feel like we see the best in Lucas. I feel like he might clog up a bit their space. I think we've mentioned it before. He takes up areas where Dele Alli and Kane operate, and it kind of clogs up the midfield. And I saw a bit of that against Burnley. They were so compact and everything was so tight and narrow that he didn't really have the space to work with or to like use his pace kind of thing. Whereas against teams like Barcelona, who naturally just come on to you, we can bring him on as a sub and he's got that space to work with, and yeah, he thrives upon that. So yeah, I'm in two minds. I feel like he's a great super sub to have, but I wouldn't necessarily start him every game because of the reasons I said.
Yeah. You kind of feel he's a player that will play best when we can play on the break,
yep.
Can't you?
Oh, he's
you
know, that home attacking football, isn't it, Jace? Yeah,
that home game with Dortmund last year when I think Sonny scored and Kane got 2-0. That's the type of game, and when you can, Man United was a prime example, wasn't it, of that? But against those teams that come to Wembley and just condense the space and park everything, then it's... there's nowhere really for him to run into other than getting in the way of everybody else.
Mm. I mean, Ross, coming around to you, I wanted to discuss, you know, the chances during towards the end of that game. We saw Lamella, you know, go close, the ball fell to him. Good save by Joe Hart, you might have to say. Lamella might should have done better than Sonny. I mean, Ross, I think at that moment I was expecting the net to bulge. Sonny screwed it wide. We've had a discussion with Sonny, I think, before on the show, Ross. I want to get your take on it. Now, for me, Sonny's one of those players that is a great goal scorer, you know, a scorer of great goals. But do you think... put Sonny in that world-class bracket, it just needs to be more consistent with his goals, do you think, Ross, overall?
Yeah, probably. I mean, you're asking like the worst person because I just love Son blindly.
Don't get me wrong. I love Son. I adore Son. I wouldn't ever want to see him leave the club. But I'm just thinking for other people out there that maybe criticise Son and don't look at him as... you know, as highly as we do, because Spurs fans, we know how good he is. We appreciate him for everything he does. Do you think for the outside perspective then of supporters that don't appreciate what he does, is that just because he doesn't score every single week maybe? Is that where the harshest critics might be looking at Sonny?
Yeah, and I think, to be fair, lately he hasn't been the most clinical. I mean, you know, sometimes we've seen him need 3, 4, 5 chances before he gets on the score sheet. He's not, you know, the type of one chance, one goal man like a Kane. I know, obviously, Kane's an elite level striker, but maybe that is kind of one criticism aimed at him. But you've got to acknowledge the fact that he's played a lot of football. Yeah, I think maybe he does need to be more clinical. I am quite blind in my opinion of him.
Ash, give us your thoughts on Sonny. You know how much we love him. We all adore him. Can you see my point there? Do you think outside perspective fans, is it just the case that he's not as clinical as what Ross says in front of goal sometimes?
Yeah, last year and the season before, he racked up the numbers in terms of goals, but he's always been one where you feel like he needs a few chances before he scores a goal. I'm not always fully confident when he's through on goal that he's actually going to finish it. Like, last couple of games, he spurned a few chances. I think it was Chelsea where he could have scored 3 or 4 goals. And he even said afterwards, like, yeah, I'm glad I scored that wonder goal because I owed the team for the amount of chances they've been creating. So, yeah, it's a case of being more clinical. It's fine when you're playing the lesser teams and you get, like, multiple chances, but when we're playing the bigger teams, maybe towards the latter stages of the Champions League or later in the season, we're going to need all our chances to go in for us to win the big things. So, yeah, hopefully he works on that finishing and can get a bit more clinical. But in terms of his goals-to-game ratio, he actually stands out quite well.
Jay's coming around at you. Another player that you say played a pivotal part in the game, and we're going to bring it up, is Llorente for that chance for Son. Because do you think, Jay, he has shown this season that coming off the bench, he's contributed quite a lot, hasn't he? A couple of goals. Do you think he deserves more praise than what maybe he's been given this season, Jace, overall, Llorente?
Well, I definitely think if you look at how much he's contributed and compare it, he's probably been only on the pitch, well, other than that West Ham game, has he even racked up 10 minutes on the pitch in all the other combinations of games he's had. So he's actually crammed quite a lot of contribution into the time he's had on the pitch. You know, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying I'd like to see Fernando Llorente play 10 Premier League games for us this year. But, you know, I felt for him. He should have come on after with half an hour left of that Southampton game. You know, it was the ideal chance. So that's what I mean, where I'd like to see more of Llorente. There are opportunities to get Llorente, even at Leicester last week. You know, obviously he wasn't on the bench, was he? Left out the squad. But when we brought Kane on, you thought, well, you know, we could have actually picked Llorente on the bench and given him those 20, 25 minutes, or even started him at Leicester and give him the chance that way. But yeah, he's definitely contributed this year. It's, you know, the PSV thing, let's be fair, he turned that game with the PSV thing, didn't he, with the touchdown, because we were going nowhere in that game. So he's done well, and whether he starts Wednesday is another thing entirely, though.
I mean, as much as he has made a contribution this season, I think we're going to come on to the preview later, but I think all of us are in agreement that Harry Kane, please God, fingers crossed, he's starting that North London derby on Wednesday. But just to kind of move it on and discuss Kane's crucial part in the goal. Now, we discussed on the show about how many goals Kane contributes overall to a season. But, you know, coming back around to you, Ross, he's there again, isn't he? The assist for Eriksen's winner. I mean, he seems to play a part so much in our goals if he's not scoring them, Ross.
Yeah, I think that's one thing that maybe non-Spurs fans don't realise, is how complete of a player Harry Kane is. Like, you know, they may see the goals and the records and the golden boots and so forth, but he's so much more than that. And maybe that comes from, obviously, traditionally being a number 10 in the youth team, I don't know. But he just, you know, even aside from his assist, the amount of times he'll pick the ball up and spray a ball 60 yards across the pitch to put us on the counter-attack, he's just such a complete footballer in that sense.
He is just incredible, isn't he? We talk about Kane so much on this show, and we discuss his goal-scoring ability and what he does for the team and what he's contributed to Spurs over these years. And Ash, like Ross says there, you know, so much about his game. It's not just his goals, it's his hold-up play, it's his passing range. I mean, he's just improved so much as an overall footballer, hasn't he, in these last couple of years?
Yeah, people look to his goal record, and obviously that speaks for itself. It's amazing. But I feel like what rival fans don't realise is how much he just brings to the team apart from that. Like, his array of passing is amazing. His hold-up play has just got better and better. Like, we can ping a ball into him 30, 40 yards. He'll hold it up. He'll lay it off. Like, the man's incredible. I know it's Sports Personality of the Year tonight, and I really hope he wins
that.
Well,
this is it. Because we're recording it, guys, just to kind of let you know, on a Sunday evening. If Kane does win the Sports Personality of the Year, you're going to hear it here first. There's going to be some great scenes there, hopefully, if he does win it. So we've got it on. We'll keep you updated if we're still recording once that does go out live, the results of that. Just discussing Eriksen, the winner. And, you know, great points made on Eriksen. Fantastic finish. And, Jace, I want to come around to you and ask you this one about Eriksen, because surely, Jace, you would think, quality finish from Eriksen. Surely it's cheaper, Jace, to give him a new contract instead of trying to replace him, you would think, Eriksen. How could you go out there and try and find a replacement that would cost you less money than what it would do to tie down Eriksen?
Well, we've talked about his contract recently, and, you know, I think Tottenham do want to to renew his contract, and it's up to him. As I said, if I'm his agent, I wouldn't be allowing him to replace it. I think there's, what, 18 months left on it? And you just think, you know, he may well get an offer in the summer, so why sign a new contract and then Tottenham say, well, okay, well, it's going to need to be 140, 150 million to buy him. I think Christian Eriksen's that type. Don't forget, when he signed us, he always said he has a clear view of his career path. And I think he just thinks, I'm loving it at Tottenham. I've got no problems with Tottenham. I'd quite happily sign a contract. But perhaps he's just reached a stage where he thinks, what am I going to win? And why commit myself for 5 years? He knows, let's be fair about it, he knows he can leave it until the end of the summer and see where Tottenham are. You know, if Tottenham were, for instance, let's just say we finished fifth, he knows that, okay, it's probably time to move on. If Tottenham are fourth or something, or third, he knows Tottenham will give him a contract in the summer. That contract's never going to be taken away from him, isn't it? It's going to be on the table for the next 6, 7, 8, 9 months, right the way through till his contract runs out. So I think he's just doing that. As much as it's disappointing for us, I kind of see it from his view and his agent's view and think, why should we be committing to it now? Let's just hold fire and see where we are in the summer, and then we'll make our decision then. But I'm sure Tottenham are doing absolutely everything they possibly can to do with Christian Eriksen's contracts. And don't forget, contracts, they're not just about how much a week you earn. There's so much more to a contract nowadays than just the weekly wage. So let's not go straight over the top and, oh, Daniel Levy's being tight and he won't pay him whatever he wants, because, you know, it gets boring, that argument.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Ross, I'm sure you're going to tell us exactly the same, that, you know, how important Eriksen is to this team. He really is the heartbeat of it, Ross, isn't he?
Yeah, he's vital. Like, he's vital to our play, but also lately he's been chipping in with crucial goals. Obviously, the one yesterday, the Inter Milan goal.
That's it.
Like, often he's the one laying them on the plate for other people and kind of dictating the pace of our play. But lately he's actually found himself on the end of the chances and putting them in the net.
Ash, would you agree with that alongside Ross?
Yeah, totally. He's playing amazing. Mm. Yeah, I think we need to sign them up ASAP.
We do.
You've just got to think, his agent will obviously know what's being whispered in his agent's ear, won't he? So, you know, if it has been his dream from day one to play for Barcelona, and his agent saying, look, Barcelona are interested, we don't know that. That could be, you know, it may not be the case. But if that is the case, why would you then sign a contract for Tottenham and then Tottenham could say, OK, it's going to cost you 140 million, Barcelona, when he knows he could go to Barcelona in the summer for 45, 50 million? So, you know, you don't know what's going on behind the scenes and how many other clubs are in his ear. And I just think I think Eriksen's more intelligent than just, I want to play for whoever pays me the most amount of money. So I don't think it will come down to money with Eriksen.
I think, Jason, we've always said that with Eriksen before in previous shows, that he has got this pathway, hasn't he? He sees it in his head where he wants to go. He has got this plan. He turned down Chelsea.
Absolutely.
What we know of when he was younger. Therefore, there is a certain pathway he wants to go. And obviously, we are maybe privy to that. We don't know. Let's just hope Spurs are still, for as many years to come, part of that pathway.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, listen, before we look ahead to Arsenal, just want to mention a couple of points on Maurizio Pochettino. Now, he's the first Spurs manager to win 100 Premier League games, the third fastest to do it after Sir Alex Ferguson and Jose Mourinho. He done it in, well, let's look at his stat. It took him 169 games to record the 100 Premier League wins, which is 10 games fewer than it took Arsene Wenger to achieve the same feat. After the game, Pochettino said, in discussion with the title, "We are there. After 17 games, 39 points, we are third. That is a massive achievement for us. We are there. We are close. In football, all is possible. Look what happened in the Champions League. After 3 games, only 1 point. Nobody believed." So on the back of that, I have to ask you, Jace, do you believe there's a potential title outsider here in Spurs?
I think we can still be in the top three come April. But if you say, do I think Tottenham can win the league? No, I'm honest. I don't think we can. But he's right. I didn't think we would qualify after that draw in PSV. So let's hope we can. We've just got to stay in there as long as we can. Christmas is busy, isn't it?
It is,
hell of a lot of games over Christmas. There could well be a semi-final where you have a two-legged semi-final as well, where those games get thrown into it. How many other clubs get caught up in those? So it's a long way to go. And all I'm honestly looking, mate, is at Wednesday night. Let's win Wednesday and then worry about everything else after that.
Yeah, quick fire then before we preview Wednesday night's game against Arsenal. Ash and Ross, I'll come first to you, Ross. Are we in it, Ross? Are we in a title race here?
No. Unfortunately not. To be fair, I don't really think there's a title race we're not even halfway through a season yet, so I think it's, you know, any title race talk is premature, but I can't see us keeping pace, to be honest. I think Man City are playing at just another level within themselves, and then I think, unfortunately, our results against the top six, generally speaking, haven't been good enough in recent years to kind of keep us up there anyway. So I think, don't get me wrong, we're best placed of the rest to challenge, but I don't see us up there in April, May, kind of, you know, seriously competing for the title.
I would say the other thing I would say about the title race is, you know, when you look at it, we've played City and Liverpool at home, so we've got to go to their places in the second half of the season. We're 5 behind City, we're 6 behind Liverpool. We can't lose either of those games. You know, I mean, if Liverpool beat us at Anfield, we've got to make up 9 points on them. And you're looking at Liverpool thinking they haven't lost yet. So where they're going to suddenly lose 3 or 4 games more than we are. So you think, you know, for us to be in that race, reality is we've got to go to City and win, and we've got to go to Anfield and win. And that's going to be incredibly difficult. Not impossible, but if we don't win at Anfield and we don't win at City, then we won't win the title, that's for sure.
OK, I want to get Ash's quick thoughts. Ash, yes or no, are we still in this at the moment, the title race, if there is one?
I'm completely opposite to the other two, to be honest.
Oh, really? I think a bit of optimism.
I think we can win the title, and I've got a number of reasons why.
Go on, Ash.
First of all, we've played our 3 toughest games at home. We've played Liverpool, we've played City, we played Chelsea at home. All our remaining home games, we will start as favourites, and are winnable games. By no means do I think that we're going to win all those games, but we're going to win the vast majority of those games, providing we don't have a massive downturn in form, have loads of injuries. We're going to win the majority of them games. Secondly, I feel like Liverpool and City are probably the two which are the most likely to go further in the Champions League and probably the further in these other competitions. Now, by no means am I saying that we're going to get knocked out straight away, but if we get drawn against one of the big teams, I feel like we're probably going to struggle more than, say, Liverpool. I feel like they can turn over a Real Madrid, they can turn over a Barcelona, whereas for us, we may not be at that level yet. So I feel like towards the end of the season, both of those teams, they're expected to fight for all the trophies, all the major honours. So there's probably a bit more pressure on them. Thirdly, I don't actually think, apart from the Chelsea game, that we've actually played well this season. Now, we've been grinding out these results left, right and centre, these 1-0 wins, these 2-1 wins. But there's got to be a time, right? This Tottenham team's a great team. There's got to be a time where they click and they start. We play 3 or 4 games in a row where we're constantly playing better, we're constantly scoring goals, we're tearing teams apart. It's going to happen. It's happened the last couple...
So you're right, Ash. You're sending it to us here. You're starting to believe here.
Yeah, I mean...
I'm starting to believe.
It's happened the last couple of seasons. It's not made up. We always do, and we always have a good Christmas period. Now, if we can continue that, stay maybe 5, 6, maybe 7 points within the leaders come turn of the year, then who's to say it? Like, at the end of the day, no one expected Leicester to win the title. They won the title. And, yeah, Man City are favourites. Liverpool have got a strong squad as well. But on our day, we can beat anyone. And we do have a strong squad. So, yeah, I'm not going to sit here and say we're going to win it. But 40-1, I'd definitely have a few quid on it.
Jase, you done a bookies yet?
I'm always at the bookies, mate, with a couple of quid. But I usually back against us all the time, you know that, because I look at it as compensation.
Oh, dear.
So I did manage a sneaky cash out on Burnley on the draw just before we scored. So, I mean, even that worked out.
There you go. Just going out that to the listeners.
I'll always back the other sides against us. So, like I say, you don't want to be burgled, but you have an insurance policy to make sure when you're burgled, you get some money back. So that's how I look at it, mate.
The Oracle, Jason McGovern. There you go. Never fails to amaze, does he? Well, listen, let's bring in the Arsenal chat. Huge game, and we're obviously recording this on a Sunday, so it's Monday for you guys listening to the show. And I want to start with you, Ross, because Arsenal's 22 game unbeaten run in the league comes to an end. It took them to the dizzying heights of fifth place, Ross, where they got to just within 5 points of Tottenham, and they're still 5 points behind us, Ross.
Yeah, no, I thought the game today was quite promising from our point of view, the fact that Southampton managed to get at them and relatively comfortable. You know, with I know they've obviously got the new lift from a new manager, but this Southampton team are evidently not a very good team. The table doesn't lie in that sense. And to be fair, they were opening Arsenal up quite comfortably with very little ease time and time again.
Ross, then, bringing that into debate then, are you concerned the fact that, are we going to get a backlash here? Or is it difficult to know, Ross, even the team selection for this one into Wednesday? Because both teams were expecting them to rotate. As much as I want Spurs to put out what their best available 11 is and go full strength, I'm not stupid. You know, I've got a lot of injuries at the moment. Pochettino, as much as I want him to put him out that first 11, I don't know if he will. How do you see the selections coming in for this one?
Yeah, I'm really not sure what to expect, to be fair, like from both teams. I mean, obviously, we said at the weekend, Pochettino, or at least for me, surprised me in terms of a team selection against Burnley. And naturally, I don't follow the Gooners, but I know they kind of put out a half-strong, half-weak team today and rested a few players. So I'm not really sure how Poch will approach this game. I just hope that we put out, regardless of who it is, we put out a strong performance and really do kind of nail them to the wall, hopefully, this time around. Because, you know, even when we went 2-1 up there, what was it, a week or two ago?
We're trying to forget it already, Ross. We're trying to blank it out.
No, but, like, it's not like we weren't really battering them. Like, we didn't really get out of first gear. Mm. One of them was a penalty. And, like, we weren't playing well even at 2-1 when we went in at 2-1 up at half-time. So if we can actually put our best foot forward and a competent performance, then we are a better team than them. That's, you know, evidently.
Mm, I certainly agree with that. And coming round to you, Jason, you know, Southampton had not won a single Premier League game for 13 matches and not won a home game all season until the win against Arsenal. What do you make of it? You know, is it good to be playing them like this, or would you rather them have won that game? What do you make of it?
Well, I mean, in fairness, Arsenal have beaten Carabag, Brentford, Blackpool, Vorskler. You know, they've had three players booked for diving against Huddersfield. So it's been quite a glorious run for them, it must be said. But I think, you know, in fairness today, I'll try and take the rivalry out of Arsenal just for a minute. You know, I think they were, what, they had to make three or four changes themselves at the back.
That's
because
right,
of injuries. And Koscielny was probably playing today, which they probably didn't really want to do. But Holding's obviously gone injured. Mustafi was what, suspended, wasn't he, after diving? I mean, a centre-half gets booked for diving and gets himself suspended. How stupid is that?
Isn't it?
I think Monreal came back at left-back, didn't he? So they obviously had a total rearrangement in that respect. And we've all said, they, you know, even with their run, Arsenal are still a better side going forward than they are defensively, aren't they? But let's be fair, if you've got Aubameyang and Lacazette, you're going to score goals. But Xhaka, to me, is still a headless chicken, and I don't rate any of their defenders. So nothing had changed in that 21 game run for me. It's just all, we just have no idea what type of sides both teams are going to field, do we? No idea at all. You know, maybe he looked at the game with Tottenham and thought, yeah, I'd like to have my best side available at Tottenham, but having lost at Southampton, you know, it may well now change his mind and think, well, I'd now sooner have my strongest side for next weekend rather than the Tottenham game. You know, will we give TJ Ioma a debut? He was on the bench on Saturday. And, you know, if we do that and they suddenly pick Aubameyang, you kind of fear for a young kid. So it's, you know, how the hell can you really preview a game when you've got no idea how either side's going to approach it and what type of teams are available?
As coming around to you, Pochettino in his post-match press conference after the Burnley game said he has promised the Spurs side which he selects in the Cup will compete against Arsenal. I mean, his words were, we have a lot of injuries, but we are going to pick a team that will compete. It's always big to play in the derby. But we have seen in the past, as you've mentioned, Ash, that Pochettino, he hasn't always put out his strongest team in the Cup. You mentioned that, you know, the fact that he could beat Arsenal along the way, that might change things for him. Therefore, are you expecting, you know, his best available team that he could play against Arsenal on Wednesday night?
Yeah, I fully expect him to play the strongest team. I think Kane will start. I think Eriksen will start. I think we'll probably start with Eriksen, Ali and Son, to be honest. I feel that Wednesday is a more important game than Sunday in terms of us going forward. If we could knock out Arsenal out of the Cup after all their celebrations in the league and how the tide's changing under their new manager, if we could knock them out and beat them out and be in a semi-final of a Cup, that's way more important to me than getting 3 points against Everton. If I could choose one game, it would be Arsenal all day long.
I agree. I'm so in agreement with you on that. I'm so in agreement with you. Go on, Ash.
Yeah, I feel like all the fans are the same, and to be honest, the players are probably the same. They've all seen the photos off that Arsenal game and seeing all the Arsenal players with their selfies and their topless photos, thinking they won the league after beating us once in the league.
Don't forget the car celebrations, Ash. That was embarrassing. God, have a bit of pride about yourself. Have a bit of respect.
Mate, the whole thing was embarrassing. Any time we've beaten them, we don't have the dressing room selfies. We have a couple of players say, oh, well played, fans were great, whatnot.
Yep.
Every single one of their players, to a man, tweeted, North London is red. None of our ever anything like that. It just shows the difference in class between the two. And I reckon, because our team's so down to earth, I reckon that really pissed them off. So they'll be doing everything in their power to win on Wednesday. And you know what? I don't want to sound like Kevin Keegan, but I'd love it if we beat them.
Ross, I want to bring you in there. I mean, we're all going to love it if we beat them. I mean, we know the news that Jan suffered a problem in his quad, Pochettino said in the post-match press conference against Burnley. What kind of team are you expecting, Ross? Is it like Jason said, it's just so difficult to kind of even put this together at the moment?
Yeah, so difficult to guess. I just hope that we start Eriksen. Purely because, like I've said, I think he's the most important in terms of how we play. And I know, obviously, he started midweek against Barca, but lately he's been given a nice rest and hasn't really started that many matches. So I'm hoping he plays. And I hope we put out a really strong 11 and just completely ignore whether Arsenal put out all their kids or their full-strength side and just focus on us and just hopefully blitz them.
Blitzem. There you go. You read it here from Ross first. There's hopefully Blitzem. We've got some questions in for the panel ahead of that game. Let's have a couple of them. Jay's going to come out round to you. Chris Lawton says on this one, his question is, who in your opinion starts at left back and right back against Arsenal in the week?
Oh, what the choice is, what, Trippier or Walker Peters on the right, isn't it? So I think he'll keep Trippier back, so it wouldn't surprise me if he goes with Walker Peters. I mean,
Aurier might be fit, Jace. We don't know. Aurier might be fit.
I don't know what the position with Aurier is, but let's be fair. If he was brave enough to throw Carl Walker Peters in away to Barcelona, then there's no reason why he wouldn't throw him in against Arsenal in that respect. I think on the left-hand side, who knows what the position is Jan going to be back? Because if Jan's not back, then presumably Ben Davies has got to play as the left-sided centre-half again, which kind of answers that thing, doesn't it? So that's what I mean. Until you genuinely know who's available, it's very difficult to forecast it. It wouldn't surprise me if Oliver Skipps gets yet another start in there because, you know, I just impossible to predict it. I just, like the lads just said, I hope we go with the strongest possible side we can do. You know, if Ben Davies plays at centre half, it's because he's having to play there rather than let's leave Jan out the side deliberately and play Ben Davies there, if you know what I mean. If he's got to play there because he's the only one fit, then so be it. But I hope we pick our strongest player in every position we possibly can.
I don't think you can say further than that, Jace. I think you've made the point on that. Ross, going back around to you, question here from Adam Kane. I wonder if he's related to him. Possibly. AK Coy says, would you rather start Son or Lucas against Arsenal?
Son for me.
Son, yeah?
Son, yeah. I just prefer him as a player. I think, obviously, as Ashley said already, I think a lot of the time when we do start Lucas, he does seem to occupy spaces that Kane or even Dele from midfield wants to advance into. Whereas I think Son can really stretch the game. And yeah, I think he can really get at there. I mean, I think I read earlier that Bellerin's out for the game.
Yeah, that's right.
So it'll be interesting to see if they start Lichtensteiner at right back. You know, I'd fancy Song against most fullbacks, let alone Lichtensteiner. He's what, 33, 34?
He's getting he played at centre half today, didn't he, Lichtensteiner or something? Did he have to play at centre half today?
That would make sense because I know they bought him off or something. I was looking before we started recording. But yeah, I'd start Song for me just purely because he can stretch the game. And I feel like Lucas would kind of, from a stylistic point of view, we're not really expected to counter on Arsenal.
Okay, and then Ross, I've got to ask you this question. For you, in terms of how big this game ranks, where is this for you in the season? How big is it for you?
It's big. It's very big. It's weird, like the last couple of seasons, I think Chelsea has kind of overtaken this or come to equal to overtaking this purely because of we're more kind of competing with them. But now Arsenal are starting to have a recent surge up the table. Like, so so they like to think, and they've had this unbeaten run. It would be nice, especially the fact that it's a cup game adds an element to it, that we're directly knocking them out of the cup. Whereas, I guess in the league, it's just 3 points. As much as it is more than that to us fans, at the end of the day, it's 3 points. Whereas this, to knock them out of a competition they could feasibly win this season, would be great. So yeah, it's very high, very high.
I'll ask the same question to you other lads. Jace, in terms of the season, where does this rank for you?
What I'm going to say is mad, because I'd sooner win tonight than have got the point in Barcelona.
Well, you said tonight, you mean against Arsenal, right?
Don't get me wrong, you know, I know how important it was for the club to go into the Champions League stage. When we get there next February, I'll be buzzing for it and glad we did it. But to me, I've always said, we play 36 pre-season friendlies and two proper fixtures a season in the league. Every other fixture to me is just building up to this lot. I'd happily lose 10 times in a row to Chelsea to beat this lot. I despise this lot. I fucking hate them, and I desperately want to knock them out of that fucking cup. I just absolutely, everything in me is for this fixture. So for me, it's always the biggest game of the season. We could be 15th and they're 19th. It's the biggest game of the season for me.
Get the feeling, Jess, you're not looking forward to it.
Oh, I despise them, mate. I despise them.
Ash, come around to you. I don't know how to follow that now. Ash, how big is this for you? I mean, for me, I've got to be honest and say to you, this is such a big game for me. I think now it has become the biggest game of the season for me, just because of the nature of how we lost the previous couple of games up there at the Emirates. This is such a big game for me. It is, like I say, I'll be honest, it's one of the biggest games of the season for Spurs in my eyes. How do you see it, Ash?
Yeah, I mean, I can't follow that with the passion for hatred.
I mean, very few would be able to find a way, I think, Ash, based on that.
Yeah, I mean, I do hate them, but I do also hate Chelsea a lot. So I don't, and I've got a lot of friends who support Chelsea. So I don't think I could lose 10 times to them just for this one. I'm being serious. I hate Arsenal, but I couldn't lose 10 times in a row to Chelsea. But in terms of the importance of the game, it's more important than the league game for me. It's a cup game. We want to win a trophy, and I cannot bear them knocking us out of the cup. If we knock them out of the cup and go into a semi-final, demoralise them even more after this Southampton game, then where does that leave them in their season?
That's it.
They're in the stupid Europa tin pot league.
Dynamo donuts every week.
Dynamo donuts. They're 5 points behind us in the league. They're only in the FA Cup. Like, yeah, we can ruin their season on Wednesday, and I really hope we do.
There you go. Should we be brave enough to get some predictions now? Because Ash and Ross have got the lucky part of it. They won't have to come back on and suffer the massacre if we do end up ballsing this one up. So let's start with a guess first. Ross, you are brave enough to give us a prediction for this?
Yeah, I'm going to go 2-1 Spurs.
2-1 Spurs. Okay, 2-1 Spurs. Ash, what do you think, Ash?
I'm going to go 2-2 Spurs. Well, 2-2. And then go straight into penalties, right, in the league.
Ash, penalties. I don't know what you could do is to us, are you?
Oh, God, no.
I am, and I'm going to say that Harry Kane will bang in the first one, and Christian Eriksen's going to bang in the winner, and we're going to win on penalties.
Oh, dear. Ash taking us right to the very end. Oh, what a night that would be.
And my heart can't take that.
Oh, I don't think anyone's hearts could take that. I mean, Jace, come on.
You know, Rick, I never, ever, ever make a prediction for this game. Never.
I just
hope the other two boys, I just don't want to hurt myself by doing it, mate. So... I'm more confident, funnily enough, going there this time than I'm confident ever going there for the league games. So take that as a good sign. But God, I want to fucking beat them. I really do.
I don't ever heard Jason use such bad language. It's only against this lot coming up, isn't it?
It's this lot. I tell you, it's this lot. It dominates me. This game does.
Oh dear. Listen, I'm confident. I shouldn't be really. It's Tottenham. We've got a way of messing this up, but I hope we do get over the line. I'm going to go for a 2-1 Spurs win. Kane and Eriksen to score. There you go. I've gone and said it now. So we'll have to suffer the ref guys on Thursday night and Love Sport, which hopefully, guys, you can join in, listen to us, hopefully discussing a massive Spurs win. Ash, thank you ever so much for rejoining us tonight. It's been such a pleasure having you.
Yes, thanks for having me, mate. Awesome as always, and hopefully I'll be on soon.
Yeah, most certainly you will be. And Ross, thanks for coming back on the show. It's been so long. Hopefully it won't be as long next time around, Ross.
No worries. Thank you for having me on.
Pleasure, Ross, pleasure. And Jace, thank you very much as always. Looking forward to this one now, Jace.
Cool, I want to be dancing in the clouds for the next week, I tell you, mate. like I said, I don't care if we then lose the next 10 games in a row to anyone. I don't care. I'll swap it for a Champions League final. I'm that desperate to beat them.
Oh, there you go.
I'll tell you.
Blimey, Jason there, taking it to the extremes.
Absolutely hate them.
As discussed, we are going to be live on Love Sport Radio on Thursday night discussing this game, hopefully looking back on a win. Enjoy the show. And as always, come on you Spurs.
Sports Social Podcast Network.